I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and you're on the Mike and Abe show. And I'm Abe. You know,
Merry Christmas.
The last thing I'm seeing where I am is a white Christmas. I'm not sure about where you are. Okay.
You want me to sing the whole song?
No, don't do it, Mike. Okay.
It's not that kind of party.
Yeah, right. So, Mike, Christmas Day, you're working today, right?
Well, here's the thing. In a word, yes, and I'm catching an inordinate amount of grief for doing this, but this is what the taxi business is sometimes, and I just hope some people understand this, friends and family. The guy who works with me on the weekend, he had a death in the family, so he had to go down south. But the as they say, the meter keeps running, and he's still got expenses. So I got to run out and at least cover the shift that he's not going to be covering himself, because he's a steady weekend guy, super steady. So I have to run out and just cover that to keep the boat in the water, as they say.
Well, it is now 10 a.m., a little after 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, in case anybody's wondering when we record these shows, okay?
Right.
And it's Christmas Day, okay? And my experience with Christmas Day, and mind you, I haven't driven in several years now, okay? My experience with Christmas Day is that it's pretty slow in the daytime, okay?
Right.
And then later on in the day, towards the night, people start coming out and, you know, going to movies and, you know, stuff like that. Okay.
Right.
However, many of the department stores are open on Christmas Day because people have decided who needs this junk. Right. And they're bringing it back. Okay. Santa Claus didn't use too much of a brain head when he decided what to give him for Christmas. You know,
can you imagine? I mean, if you get if you're the low man on the totem pole and you get a job at a big retail store, you're going to be the one called in on Christmas Day to do returns on Christmas Day if the store is open. So every time you think you got a bad station in life, just realize you could be working returns on Christmas Day.
That's probably pretty damn rough, you know. So what kind of a week has it been leading up to Christmas Day? Have you been working?
Oh yes, no. Well, I tell you, the it's a long story. It's only an hour show, so I really can't tell you all the particulars. But I think yesterday was very good. Here's the thing: my driver usually super steady. He's very reliable for the weekend, but he was out of town, so I had to cover his Friday night. Saturday, Sunday thing. He's got Friday night, then all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And with that, I just covered Friday night and Saturday. I covered his expenses, what he would ordinarily, you know, pay for use of the cab. So today is kind of like gravy, but I wish I didn't have to work today. But I will be waking something, because then I'd be like a moron just to let the cab sit there and do nothing.
Uh-huh. Well, the airport's
but I mean, yes, last night, Christmas Eve, which I haven't worked a Christmas Eve, honestly, in like 20 years.
Right.
And I worked up until like 10:30 or 11, and it was busy. I mean, people are in town. It was very busy. A lot of the native New Yorkers are out of here. They're just gone. So I guess they had a statistic in the newspaper the other day that said a mere 18% of people who live in New York City now are actually from here. So apparently 82% leaves for big holidays. And the 18% that are actually from here, they might leave too, but I don't think we get up and go as much as the people who are not from here. So 82%, that's a lot of people.
I think 82% have gone for good.
Yeah, that's their Christmas.
You can count me in one of those numbers, okay? You know,
I am
a native New Yorker. I was born in Brooklyn. I went to school in Brooklyn. I graduated from high school in Brooklyn. Okay. Mm-hmm. I drove a New York City taxi for 42 years. Okay.
Wow.
All right. And I'm living far away from New York now because I prayed the whole time that sometime in my life I would be able to leave.
Oh, you did. So you actually did want to leave. That was your plan.
Oh, yes, I wanted to leave so bad. So bad.
Now, what time in the equation did you say, I got to get out of here? At what point did you just say, listen,
for a good part of my adult life, even during my taxi years, I lived outside the city. Okay. Uh-huh. And that was in the late 1970s when I moved out of the city. Okay, but close enough that I can go back and forth.
Right.
Okay, because number one,
you were commuting from the mountains.
Yeah, but number one, it's too expensive for taxi drivers to live in the city. Okay, mm-hmm. even back in the 1980s and 1990s. Okay, right. I mean now it's off the charts. Okay,
yeah,
a term that our friends use a lot. The business is off the charts, so we have to charge you 5 times more. Okay.
Yep.
What right. I'd like to know what chart they're using, you know.
Well, they're using the fuzzy math chart.
Yeah.
That's one thing with the taxi commission that you had brought up, which I didn't even know they had a specific rule. I mean, they're supposed to make sure cabbies can make enough money to survive and make a good living. Mm-hmm. And a good living means you can have an apartment and you can raise a family and have food here. Mm-hmm. And last I checked. I haven't seen too many cabbies making a consistent $100,000 a year, which is apparently what you need to get an apartment and raise a family in New York. So mm-hmm. I don't think too many cabbies are making $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And what pains me is we probably could make $100,000 a year if the TLC would just let us work and the fare wouldn't even have to be on the moon. We could group ride. We could get radio calls. We could get two-way radio calls, which was the stupidest thing they ever did. To take it out of the cabs. We could do a lot of stuff, and apparently we have all these people lobbying and blocking and all this stuff. So, and what they've done is they've lowered the standard of service for yellow cabs instead of raising it, which
right.
is insane. But like I said, lest I digress, but there is a rule which you pointed out, if you want to elaborate, that
yeah.
the taxi commission is supposed to maintain a decent standard of living for their drivers, which, of course, they are not doing right now. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, they're not, you know, because drivers are making less, and now that we have a pro-economist in going to be in the White House, interest rates are going up, which means inflation is going up.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
There's a direct tie mm-hmm. between, if for those that don't know, there's a direct tie between interest rates and inflation.
Right. Well, I think that's also a little gift from the president who's leaving to the president who's coming in, is raising the interest rate to, you know, give him a little, having a little fun with the new president.
Yeah, well, they say word is that once Trump gets into office, interest rates will start returning to where they were, say, before the crash in 2008. Okay.
Right.
And
right.
And they mm-hmm. were up around as high as 5%, depending on what kind
right.
of a financial thing you had, you know. But a 5-year CD was paying 5%, if I recall at that
well,
time.
Well,
you know.
This is another crazy thing with like a guy with you who has a medallion. And, basically, if you could get 5%, you'd probably sell the medallion in 2 seconds.
Well, the thing is this: as the rates go down, the price of the medallion goes down. Okay, but it still equals close to 4%, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
if you take what you're getting, what owners are getting as a payment, and compute that to 4%, it should equal, you know, for example, right now $2,000 is what's being paid to medallion owners. Okay, so if I have my calculator here. If you take 2,000, right, mm-hmm. and you times that by 12, okay, that's 24,000
right.
a year. So 24,000. 24,000 should be 4% of the medallion value. Yeah.
But it used to be the medallion would go up. So that hasn't happened in a while. So the medallion was going up, let's say, 5%, plus you'd be getting 4%. And so cabbies for a long time, if you were retired, were getting the equivalent of 9% a year, which was not bad. back in the days.
No, no. Well, actually, when the medallion was $1 million, the retired campers were getting $40,000 a year. That's 4%.
Correct. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. So and they were getting increase in equity on top of that.
Well, yeah, right. An increase in equity, right.
Yeah. But it was a good time.
You know, will we return to those days? You know, we don't know.
Not with this mayor. I mean, we have to wait till the elections, I think. Everybody's watching this year with the elections with de Blasio. De Blasio has, I just checked who's running against de Blasio. He's got about a dozen people who are very viable candidates who have hinted and announced that they're running against de Blasio. And this is the guy who avoided a runoff in the Democratic primary back in 2013 by 0.81%. He avoided a runoff. And everybody talks about Hillary the recount. De Blasio was a big manager for Hillary, the goddess of America. And de Blasio avoided his own runoff by 0.81%. So instead of him like coming forward and say, listen, for the good of the American people, for the good of New York and for the good of the people, I volunteer to do a recount. No, he didn't say that. He goes, no, I won by 0.81%. I won 0.81%. So now that's how you get stuck with a de Blasio. Now, Mr. 0.81 is doing bad in the polls, and I just also heard where he whacked this beloved little deer right around Christmas, which has hopped into like a public housing project courtyard. So all the kids were saying, hey, there's a little deer there, there's a little deer. It's like, so what does de Blasio do? He sends in the police, who euthanized the deer. Then they went overboard with the drugs, and the deer like died in a box. So that's our little de Blasio Christmas story that we have now. But point being, I don't think he's going to get a second term.
Uh-huh. So de Blasio killed the reindeer.
De Blasio killed the reindeer at Christmas.
Oh, that's horrible, man. You know, I mean, you know, the only thing I didn't like about Deer up in where I was living in upstate was that they managed to get in front of your car a lot, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. You're from upstate, so you're not, like, really sobbing many tears.
No. I never liked hitting deer. I once hit a deer. I got news here. I once hit a deer going 60 miles an hour. Okay, because, you know, it took the total front end of my car off. Okay, I was lucky. It was at night. Okay, I didn't see the deer. Mm-hmm. He just all of a sudden appeared right in front of my car, right going down this country road. Okay, I mean there was no other cars on the road. Okay, and he took the front of my car off. And actually, this car was a used taxi cab that I had painted black. Okay. Right. Took the whole front of the car off, you know, he didn't disable the car, but, you know, the whole portion that has the headlights just came right off the car, right?
Oh, man.
And I had, like, one signal light hanging off the car, okay? Oh. And I managed to use that one signal light to see where I was going until I got to the nearest town, which was about 5-6 miles away. And I saw a bunch of upstate police cars hanging out by a local bank. I went over to them, and they said, what's up? And I said, look at my car, you know. Yeah. And they gave me this, like, yeah, so. You know, you know, and what I had to do is I had to call my wife to come pick me up because I left the car there. And that was the end of that car. It had seen a good 400,000 miles. Okay.
But, oh, man. Yeah. So I had a hero.
Yeah. But I have hit there a couple of times, you know, and done some damage. Every time you hit one, you do some damage. But I always felt bad for the deer. Okay.
Well, does the deer, like, run away, or what happens to the deer? Just like,
well, the one I hit at 60 miles an hour, I went back the next day, and he was completely dead.
He was clinging to death.
No, he wasn't clinging to death. He was dead. He was killed. He was killed instantly by the car. Okay.
Oh, that's good. So it's a happy death where he wasn't suffering.
Well, I don't know if it's a happy death. How'd you like to die that way? You know, I mean,
well, I don't know. I haven't heard
and you know something, there are vehicles driven by people in the city that kill people that way.
This is true.
Okay.
There was a guy at DJ Jinx. DJ Jinx.
Yeah.
Got hit at front the other day. So he apparently they found the guy.
Yeah.
Who it's pretty much the guy who hit him. He goes in to get his windshield changed about 5 minutes from where he kills the guy and runs him over, and then one of the guys in the windshield place ratted him out because there was a reward. So that's, I guess, what you do.
Uh-huh.
But now, when did you hit the deer? Was it in summer or winter?
Well, there was no snow on the road. I don't remember exactly what month it was, and the weather was okay. It's just that it was totally dark, and the deer just jumped right in front of my car. You know, I had no time to even react. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what they do. They jump in front of the cars. They don't understand that the car is a moving vehicle. Okay.
Yeah. They're attracted to the light. They jump towards the light.
Yeah. Right.
Apparently.
Right, and I once hit a deer in the deer's rear end, and he went hobbling away, and I did a little damage to my car, which I fixed. Okay, and you know, I don't know what happened to the deer. He just went hobbling away, you know. But you know, hundreds and hundreds of deer are hit every year.
Right.
Okay, but that's no reason to shoot them if they're in a housing project in Manhattan. Okay.
Well, you would think that they could somehow, I mean, you could even like pen the deer in. You could make like a little place for it and just make it like an icon, like a member of the family. But no, the deer got whacked. And Cuomo, ironically, this is the big controversy, because Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, and Mayor de Blasio apparently don't get along. So Cuomo wanted to rescue the deer and bring it upstate and release it into the wild and make it a whole big photo op thing.
Uh-huh.
And de Blasio was like, get the deer out of here. And de Blasio apparently doesn't even have any pets in the house. So we have two divergent strategies. And the cynics among us say that the absolute last thing de Blasio wanted Cuomo to get was any face time with rescuing a deer that was in de Blasio's town. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, what do we do with the deer? We whack them.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a big fan of Cuomo anymore. I was at one time, okay, until he went against the yellow taxis, okay.
He really did, and they make all these rules with Cuomo and upstate. Why do they come into New York? They should concentrate on upstate New York, where their economy is down the drain. They keep coming into New York to tell us what we should and should not do. We should and should not do, but they should leave us alone because we know what we're doing and work in the communities upstate. What right do they have to come into New York City and tell yellow cab drivers and yellow cabbies how to work? I've never seen anything like this before.
New York City is basically the economic backbone of New York State. Okay,
right, New York State is run by a bunch of losers who have no economic savvy at all. They have nothing. They have deer and woods and deer ticks.
Well,
and everything else they turns to crap.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know, on this particular issue, I would side with Cuomo, wanting to save the deer. Okay.
The deer.
Yeah. Okay. However, once they get upstate, they unleash the hunters on them. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The hunting season, I think, is the whole month of November. Okay, where hundreds and hundreds of deers are shot. Okay, just for sport.
Slaughtered just for sport.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, look, it's very controversial. You know, I mean, I'm an animal guy. I love animals. I love cats. I love dogs. You know, I love deer. Mm-hmm. Except you don't want to go near a deer because, first of all, they'll run from you. Okay? They won't let you near them. Okay? Mm-hmm. I guess the word is out about what some people do to them. You know?
They've been taking notes.
Yeah. And, you know, but they're very beautiful animals, and they're friendly. They won't hurt you, okay?
Right.
And that's it. You know, I mean, why are they shooting them? Do they need the food? You know, they eat their meat. You know, but they don't need their meat. Okay. I think we kill I think we kill enough cows in this country to take care of all of that situation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it is a little strange. The only thing that scares me about deer tick. About deer are deer ticks, and if you go hunting deer, the deer have deer ticks. So I don't know why anybody would want to go near a deer for any reason at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, then you're going to eat the meat with the after the deer ticks have been chomping on the deer.
I don't know. You know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. I was once served rabbit by somebody. Okay.
Did they tell you it was rabbit or no?
You know, I knew it was rabbit, and the thought of it, I couldn't eat it. I thought I was I thought it was like eating one of my cats. You know.
Yeah.
You know. Look. If you're desperate and you need the food, it's a different story. Okay.
Right.
You know. But let's get back to taxi cabs. All right.
Now the mayor,
right? There's a lot of people running for mayor, you say, right? Are any of them pro yellow taxi?
Well, apparently there's a couple of them. I know Dave has had this guy Avella on his show a few times. Tony Avella.
He's running.
We have right now the city council and city hall has been seized by a bunch of left wing wacko fanatics who I mean back in the days they just would have been called communists, in my opinion, all right?
Uh-huh.
They can't get elected by being called communists. So they have to say they're this or they're that or something but they're too cowardly to call themselves communists. So they sneak in and they have all these little societies and meetings and stuff like that. So now we're stuck with them. So now we're stuck with them, and now we got to get rid of them for the good of the city. And I hope that happens this fall. I mean, we have like a lot of them. And those are the people who are the big Uber champions, because apparently Uber is the honeypot for a lot of these wackos, you know, and it's disgusting that's all they can do is screw the yellow cabbies who are immigrants who have bought medallions legally from the city of New York. And then they double cross them. So they're the big, oh, progressive, we're going to help people all become, you know, no. And so a guy finally gets his little stake in America with buying a taxi medallion in New York. And he gets turned around by some commie who is just lying about being a commie and destroying his life.
Well,
so hopefully New Yorkers will wake up.
What we need in New York is a mayor with teeth.
Please.
Okay.
Well, this guy, I don't know what this guy is.
You know, we need a mayor that will enforce the rules and regulations of New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've had that. Hey, you know, have you read the article I wrote in the Queens Chronicle?
Yes, I did. You were now a mainstream published guy, so you have the Queens Chronicle article is online. I picked up a hard copy newspaper. I it might be in one of the other editions, but you wrote a very good article about the various hotels and doormen in Manhattan and their bullshit, for lack of a better word, of giving these hotel jobs. Instead of legal yellow cabs, they have these doormen working the doors who give these airport and out-of-town hotel jobs to some guy off the street who has a black car, not even a limousine. And I'm just wondering, at what point does the hotel get involved and say, hey, you can't do that in front of the door or else you get fired? I mean, at what point, how far up does the kick go from the illegal street hustler limo guy bribing the doorman to who gets the money beyond the doorman? I'm sure somebody has to get a kick inside the hotel, because from between the boardroom of, let's say, Marriott Hotels down to the street where the doorman is, why in the name of God would Marriott Hotels want their guests to be subjected to corrupt doormen? So somewhere between that doorman and the boardroom of Marriott Hotels, there's a few people in between who are screwing cabbies out of legal jobs at the airport and giving them to hustlers in fake Uber cars who are stealing from their customers who are paying $600 a night. I'm trying to figure that out. I've been trying to figure that out, one out for a long time.
But,
you wrote a very good article alluding to that, so just tell the folks what's in your article.
Well,
and where is it?
The title is Transportation Horrors. I guess you can go online and Google that, or you can go to the Queens Chronicle and Google that. Okay.
The Queens Chronicle. So,
right.
So say exactly
okay.
where it is.
And there's a link on our message board that I put. Okay.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and you can go there and read it. Okay. And mm-hmm. it's getting a lot of traction. Okay. It's been sent to it's been sent all over the industry. Okay.
Good.
People are reading it. Okay, so if you haven't read it yet, go to our message board and look for the link on the message board. Okay. Let me take a look at our message board for a second. Let me see what it says on the message board. Click here and click here. And what it says is Transportation Horrors, I wrote this. Okay. So it's there. You'll look for that thread, as they call it. Okay, and you can read the article. Okay. And you can comment on the article. Let me see if there's any new comments on the article. There were two the last I looked. Okay, I'm bringing up the article now. All right. And now there were only two comments, but you're welcome to comment on the article. Okay. And you're welcome to comment on our message board. Okay, I
There you go.
see we have a few new messages on the message board also. Okay, that I haven't read yet. Okay.
Taxi Dave is on the message board. Taxi Dave, thank you
Taxi
for asking.
Dave is going to start by here's one right he Taxi Dave already wrote one. He just signed up this morning finally. Okay.
There you go.
Happy holidays from Taxi Dave. Okay.
It's official. It's official.
And Merry Christmas from JFK Mike.
Gotta love JFK Mike wherever he is.
Yeah, he's your alter ego. Okay.
Yes, my other side, yes, my evil twin.
Yeah.
So,
Okay.
how much time we got in the show about now? How much
Let
time we
me
got
see.
left?
Right now we are into our almost a half an hour. We're up to. Okay, we have
All
a
right,
few
because
minutes left. Yeah.
I had a very interesting conversation with one of the drivers at JFK, right? And this, I'm glad you're sitting down, and I hope you don't put your fist through a wall because this is a very interesting article. He said before all this Uber stuff started, apparently there was a whole group of cabbies who heard about the Uber thing on the way and it was going to make money. So they rented out their tins to the broker at top dollar and ran out and bought Uber cars. And now they're crying about they're not getting paid enough and the medallion is down while they are driving their Uber car. So
They
they've rented out their medallion.
shot themselves in the foot, is what
Right.
they
So
did.
what are your
Yeah.
opinion with that strategy? What do you have to say?
You did it, and you deserve it. I
Right. So to
don't.
them you
You did,
say yes.
not only did you do it to yourself, you did it to everybody in the industry.
Right. And
Okay?
apparently that's the dirty little secret going on right now because these guys who are crying about, oh, my medallion's down and why are you cutting my rate? It's like, excuse me, you're driving an Uber car. You're driving an Uber car and stealing business away from your medallion, which
Right,
you've rented out.
right.
So how's that? I mean, these guys are insane. I mean, why would
Well,
you,
let me
out of all
tell
the conceivable.
you, they should figure out who exactly all these people are that did exactly that, right?
Right.
And
Right.
those are the people that should be getting their lease money cut.
I like it. So you're saying
Yeah,
make a new rule that said
right.
any medallion owner who is driving for Uber, he can only get 500 a month.
No, why give him anything?
Why do you say anything? He has to
Yeah,
put his medallion in storage. Right.
right. He said let those medallions go in storage, and let my medallion pay me what I've earned.
Well, this is a very interesting thing. I mean, it would be interesting to see a rule like that. They just made a rule where a medallion owner can rent out his medallion, and da da da. Like, listen, if you're a medallion owner and you're retired and you're renting out your medallion, that's one thing. But if you're a medallion owner, individual medallion owner, and you're renting out your medallion, and now you're on the road driving for Uber, if you're off the road and retired, maybe you should rent out your medallion. But if you're off the road and you're driving for Uber, so you know what I mean? It should be something along those lines. Like, listen, it's one thing if a guy's totally retired. And he's out of the business. But if he's still on the road, it's like, listen, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're a retired driver, maybe you should rent out your medallion. But if you're not a retired driver, then you got to sell your medallion. You got to do one or the other. I mean, that's fair. And like you said, I mean, you're going for a zero tolerance on these guys
Right.
and say, listen, schmuck, you just screwed your fellow cabbies. You screwed yourself. The medallion is down $400,000. The monthly lease is down $1,200. The absolute last thing we're going to do is reward you for being a moron. But apparently there's thousands, a couple thousand guys like this who are driving for Uber and leasing out their individual medallions. Do you believe this shit? Unbelievable.
I do believe, but let me tell you something. Sooner or later, I don't see how Uber can survive. Okay?
It's impossible. The math is not there.
You know, they're losing billions of dollars every year. Okay?
Right.
And the investors, the investment money, it appears has dried up. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, nobody in their right mind wants to give any money to a corporation that's losing $3 billion a year. Okay.
Unless you're running the city of New York, unless you're like a politician.
I don't know. I just don't know. Why would I invest $5 in a corporation that's losing $3 billion a year? Tell me.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yeah.
I've also heard besides the idiot cabbie running out of the medallion and driving for Uber, apparently there are a couple of big boys who were one of the early round financing guys who invested like $1 million or $2 million with Uber. And now they're crying about their medallion when Donald's like, look, schmuck, you invested in a competitor that is destroying you. You're investing in a hangman news company when you're standing on the guillotine. So apparently we had a few early round investor big shots who invested like, you know, $3-4 million. Now their $3-4 million apparently went up a little bit, but the money they lost on the other side with their medallions going down the drain. These are the people who are the geniuses of the taxi business.
You know, Mike, you know Grace Papaya on 72nd and where Amsterdam meets Broadway?
Oh, I know it well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You go in there any hour of the day or night. They're open 24 hours a day. You go in there any hour of the day or night, and they're selling hot dogs. And people are lined up. I mean, it was one of my favorite spots to grab a quick bite at midnight. Right?
Right,
and keep working, and keep working for a couple more hours, say till 2-3 in the morning, right?
Uh-huh.
And also, it was a great place to pick up fares because people would come out of there, or they would go in there for a hot dog before they catch a cab.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they come out and suddenly, says, "I'm going to Roosevelt Island. Can you take me?" Sure, you know,
sure.
I've gotten a lot of fares from Grace Papaya to Roosevelt Island. Okay, but the thing I'm trying to say is, now that hot dog stand has been there for I don't know how many years since I can remember. Okay,
right,
all right. They sell millions and millions of hot dogs every year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now suppose some guy right there on or across the street, across 72nd Street, right, wanted to open up a hot dog stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or would Grace Papaya walk across the street and say, "We'd like to invest in your hot dog stand"? this is
right.
The analogy I'm making with people that have invested in Uber and own a yellow cab. Okay.
Perfect. That's a perfect analogy, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I mean, why would anybody, if they did invest in the hot dog stand across the street, why would they wonder why they're selling less hot dogs?
Well, I got another example. We have guys who own medallions and are leasing out medallions, and they're selling insurance to Uber cars and their drivers who have illegal drivers on their cars at the same time. And it's like, listen, if anybody can screw a bootleg Uber driver who is breaking a law, it's a guy selling him insurance who could cancel his policy and the guy wouldn't be able to get more insurance. But instead of doing that, they look the other way and let their medallion drop and they wonder why there are no cars. I had an argument with the other day with a guy. He was saying, like, why do we have drivers? I said, listen, the reason you don't have drivers is you're locked in on these high lease rates. And you refuse to budge. They all think the days of wine and roses are still here. It's like you got to work with people. And I'll tell you one thing about you, which is good. You always wanted the cab drivers that work for you to make money. A lot of these don't want the cab drivers. A lot of these guys could A, either care less about the driver making money, or B, they don't want the cab driver to make money because they figure, well, if he's not making money, he's going to work more. Like,
if you're making money, you're going to work more because you want to make more money.
No, but
this is why
this is the way they're thinking. They're thinking if a guy doesn't make money, he's going to work more. It's like, no, if a guy doesn't make money, he's not going
to
do this.
Well, there has to be a reasonable balance there. Okay.
Right.
You know, yeah. Where the driver is
happy. You have some people in the business. You have some people in the business who are just, in my opinion, pigs. I mean, and they're disgusting, and they should have been thrown out a long time ago.
Yeah.
But we have a situation now where the market has to adjust to what the reality is. And the reality is, like you said, Ben, Uber is unsustainable in its current form. You have to cap the amount of Uber cars on the street. And I think it's very scary for me because de Blasio, I think, is becoming just lame duck status.
Well, Mike, if they started pulling these cars off the street that are stealing all of the hotel fares and stealing all of the street hail passengers, okay,
right.
They will be cutting down on about 60% of the Uber cars.
Right.
Because that's who's doing it.
Yeah.
The same people that have Uber in their window are doing the hotel stealing jobs and the street hail stealing jobs and the airport stealing jobs. Okay?
Yeah. What that also says, they're stealing our best jobs. They're not stealing off the street the $5 and $10 jobs. They're stealing the lucrative hotel jobs, which are supposed to be given to the cabbie. And I think it's high time one of our people, who apparently is supposed to be running this business, and I think there's a lot of phony balonies out there who should be just, you know, dragged off the stage of leadership. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's you, me, Taxi Dave, and a couple other people. Your friend, what's the girl, her name, goes to all the meetings?
Carolyn.
Helps out. Carolyn, we have and then there's Nancy from the Green Card. There's some people who are true leaders, and you have a bunch of people who go to these TLC meetings. They don't do anything. And I think they're working both sides of the street, and that's why they don't do anything. So they're trying to make sure that the yellow cab doesn't go down the drain, but at the same time, they're deluding themselves that they're going to get their return on investment with their Uber fiasco. So at least now, and the only way I heard this was from some cabbie at the airport telling me that a lot of the medallion owners who drove cabs rented out their medallions to the brokers, then ran around the corner and got Uber cars, which proves that they are complete freaking morons.
Okay, all right, Mike. It's Christmas Day, and you want to go to work, so let's wrap up this show by saying I want to say one thing. A lot of people are out of town for Christmas, but they all return for New Year's. Okay.
That's right.
They want to be at the big party, New Year's Eve in Times Square or wherever it might be, because
right.
they had a rough year, but they had a good year, but they all want to get drunk. Okay, I don't know. You know, alcohol is legal. You know,
uh-huh.
the worst drug on the planet is legal. Okay,
that's correct.
And that's alcohol. Okay, and they're going to be consuming enormous amounts of it come New Year's Eve. All
enormous right? amounts of alcohol consumption, yes, sir.
Okay, so what you need to know about New Year's Eve is, number one, it's a very busy night for the taxis. Number two, you need puke protection. Because I once had a New Year's Eve, this girl threw up in the back of the cab. Right, on the seat.
Right.
And the guy threw me an extra $20 bill and said, take care of it. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I thought to myself, take care of it. This is the end of my night. Are you kidding?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing with Uber. They hit the credit card for $200.
Yeah, they got a $200 puke fee. Right?
Yeah.
You know? And,
if you were still driving, and you could get $200 every time someone puked, that's the only people who would pick up would be the people who were puking.
You see, the people that are puking don't care about the puke smell because it's already within them.
Yeah, sorry,
okay.
Goodbye.
So you put a big sign in your window, pukers welcome. Right? No.
Yeah, just put plastic all over the back of it. I mean, if you put plastic in the back of the cab, the big sheet of plastic would cost $5.
Right.
And if you're getting $200 for someone who pukes, you're still ahead $195.
Uh-huh.
So that's, you know, you get like four or five of those a night, you're in good shape.
Okay. But anyway, you know, if things go well and you don't get any pukers, New Year's Eve is always a good night to make money. But I tell you, the people out there are just absolutely nuts, you know.
Well, what was your best fare? What was the best fare you ever got on New Year's Eve?
Well, you know, it's not that you get great fears. It's just that everyone is in a spending mood, and you're busy and busy and busy right through the night. You know, if you could work yourself till 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, put in a 12-hour shift from 6 to 6, right? You're busy, and you know, and then you go out New Year's Day, they're just waking up. They don't even know where they went to sleep, you know. And they get up and they might live in New Jersey and suddenly they find themselves in Manhattan, you know, and the first thing they do is grab a cab. Okay?
That's right.
All right. And I know I've gotten a lot of, you know, it seems that when I've worked on New Year's Eve, I've wound up in places that I never would wind up regularly. Okay? Like I once wound up in Far Rockaway. Okay, I'll never forget that. New Year's Eve, and then I cruised up Cross Bay Boulevard from Far Rockaway looking for a fare.
Right.
I know you, Mike, you'd go into JFK, but nobody's flying on New Year's Eve, right?
You never know.
Yeah.
Everybody's flying on New Year's
Eve. Yeah, okay, but anyway, be careful on New Year's Eve, okay? Some New Year's Eves are so cold out, I mean, temperatures in the teens in New York, and these people are desperate. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're desperate. And I know that Uber's going to be charging ten times the fare, whatever it is, their surge price, their super surge, right? Okay? So take a yellow cab, okay, if you could find an empty one. Okay? See, they should allow us to group ride on New Year's Eve, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot. Like I said, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's so many ways we could be successful without having to raise the fare here and there, like for a nickel or two. Just let us group ride. Give us a two-way radio calls back from existing groups.
Yeah.
We have groups who have been destroyed by Uber. They don't have any. Put those existing radio franchises back in the yellow, and that's the end of Uber. That's it. And Uber's done. And done.
And get them out of the hotels. And get them out of the hotels. Get those cars out. And let those taxi stands be filled with taxis. Okay? As they were once before.
As they were doing very nicely for 80 years.
Right. Right.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
All right. So listen.
Hey, it was a great show.
Merry
Christmas to everybody.
This will possibly be our last show of 2016. And if you're alive on January 1st, 2017, or, you know, not in some condition where you can't do the show. Okay.
I should be so lucky.
Okay. Well, I should hope so. I mean, I don't know what your plans are for New Year's Eve. Mine are the same every year. I go to bed at 9 p.m. And and I record it. You know, get up in the morning to make sure it happened. You know.
Now, let me tell you something. You keep saying news. So we can do a show on Saturday. So we'll do a show on Saturday. That's the before New Year's Eve.
Okay. We will attempt to do a show on December 31st, which is next Saturday.
Yes, for the people. For our fans in internet radio near and across the world.
Okay, so that'll be the last Mike and Abe show for the year, next Saturday.
That will be the last Mike and Abe show.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, Mike, Merry Christmas to everyone, and Happy New Year. And I'll say it again next Saturday, okay?
And I just want to say to all the cabbies there in Radio Land who leased out their medallion to the broker, then won, and around the corner and bought Uber cars while their medallion went down $400,000 and while their monthly lease from the broker went down $1,000 a month. I hope Santa Claus brings them a brain because it sounds like they could use one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye, everyone.
See ya. Merry Christmas. Goodbye.
Bye.